So our first poet is Nisha McGuinness, who actually read in the five-word challenge. She is an MA scholar in creative writing at UCC and founder of My Child and Fostering Ireland. She currently runs a blog through the style of creative nonfiction, where she talks about her life growing up in a home where her mother fostered. She believes in education through creativity, and creativity is therapy for all. So we have a huge pool of us.
Thanks so much, guys. I'm literally so freaking nervous right now. apart from 10 minutes ago, this is my first time ever reading in public to anybody. So please, and also I'm recovering from COVID, so I will probably get hit with a cough and fit at some stage. I'm going to read three poems. I'm going to get the depressive one out of the way first. The first one is called For Now. I wrote it when I was like 14 and have been casually editing it ever since. I was a very depressed teenager. So here we go. This one is the longest. The other two are quite short. Things have changed between me and the world. The soul inside me has come to accept that which it feared before, I feel. As my brain settles down into its final transition, I take a look back at what brought me to this position. And I wish for a minute that I could return. To feel the burn of emotion that once raged through me in a wildfire, unrelenting, unrepenting, unapologetic for its course, which it took without remorse sometimes. But the infant inside grew to realise, in their eyes, this could no longer stand. I had to learn to reprimand the actions of my fire, until one day, it had forgotten how to rise. I hadn't realised this fire was fighting something, a pain the flames had been hiding from me before, something malicious, something bearing a heart of war. In its fist it took my own, and from its chipped, cracked fingers oozed a thick black smoke. Moaning its way into me, finding smoulders to choke. And like the poison of a blue-ringed octopus, it nestled into the crevices of my soul, before the match that had been keeping my wildfire lit could break free from its season of confusion and see that we had been eaten whole. And as my brain settles down to this transition finish, I see that maybe the fight in me has diminished. And though the hope remains that the match hopping from heart to soul will find something soon to strike off, a dark wind will continue its malicious moan throughout me, switching every light off. So the second one is slightly less depressive, but it is still about depression. this one is called Attack of the Angsty Beast, TM. I have never been skydiving, for I am afraid to death of heights. To yeet myself from the cavernous heart of a plane so many feet from the ground seems a terrifying feat. I have never felt my organs be left behind as I plummet toward the ground at a pace stronger than gravity, the atmosphere pummeling through my cheeks. I have never felt the force of the chute hold my deathly fall so abruptly, nor have I felt those organs of mine render me pregnant for the time it takes them to catch up with what has happened. Silly organs, why did you fall behind so? Couldn't you see we were going to be fine? So the third one is in honour of Valentine's Day, it's a sonnet. It's called My Love for You, and it's about unrequited love. I don't know why I'm getting like so sad with all these poems, but hey. So my love for you. And in this deep valley, where the sun's rays are shadowed by the colossal palisades that stretch up, up, toward the beginning of the end of our limitless love, and where the grapple falls, relentless, from the sky, my love for you will remain as strong as this iron heart, held together for the beauty of your mind. I'm so sorry, I've lost the last one. I have one more. Mine is very short, sorry. everything's like in random places in this book. Okay, here we go, found it. So this one's kind of still in the works. I wrote it for one of the poetry classes a couple of weeks ago. It's called But In What Country Have We Been? And it's based on a prompt that the lecturer gave us at the time. But in what country have we been, if not our own, where we birthed and grew into fields of wet morning mildew? If not our own, where we drank tea and danced along the quay down by the fields overgrown? If not our own, where we cried and grieved those who we lost on autumn's leaves? In what country have we been, if not this one, with our people? Who are they, if not native peoples of this land, with whom we can relate down to each crease in each palm of each hand? With whom our ancestry lies centuries ago, and yet centuries built on family ties? In what country have we been, if not our own, yet not owned by us, only verbally and literally claimed so, till the decision may or may not come for us from our country to have flown? That's it.
So much, Nisha, that was great. So our next poet is Luke Jeffers. He is a 22-year-old writer from Cork and has completed a BA in English in UCC. He's currently completing an MA in creative writing in UCC. He has had short stories published in Honest Ulsterman and UCC's Quarryman, with another to be published in Tiernan and Old later this year. So can we have a big round of applause for Luke Jeffers?
Hi everyone. Unfortunately, there's going to be similarities with Nisha in that I am also depressing. I'd like to blame her because I journey with her to college, but I can't on this occasion. Yeah, and I also have a few poems. The first one is called Hatchet. Sunlight sparks its steel, rumours of rust cast in shadow. I watch him rub his hands, greet the hatchet like an old comrade, scrape muck from his soiled soles. It slices through the air sole, a silencing slash. The hatchet splits sap, splinters clasp its face like thinning leaves, a prickly stubble of persistent work. Tears trickle its chin, drip and sigh, descends, defenseless log slit in two, hammers its prey off charred flagstones, this tool-made weapon delivering death. Handle fashioned from enemies felled, stealing life, dark as earth, nurtured by grip, sanded by touch sharper than a bird's talon, curved to fit a harsh lover's grasp. Chops without rest, vanquishes victims, never numb to the action of this ancient dance, footsteps soft as fallen branches, arms set in their stance, hardworking Hephaestus hoisting it high. For every log slashed, it smiles its godly grin, it tastes oak, hazel, birch and pine, listens to wooded whispers, severs and savours secrets they are lost to the flames. I pass the wood piece by piece on a sunlit winter's afternoon. He delivers death, his feet a nest of kindling, his hands red and mine safe in builder's gloves. A minor deity desiring the mantle, I reach for the hallowed prize. His hand catches mine, his steaming, forging breath flames. So I walk from the back, then the side, the bank out front, still sprouting living trees. I take off my gloves, grasp tin trunks, splinter branches, savour secrets, return. My hands bleed its offerings. This next one is a villanelle, or sort of a villanelle, called Portrait. Frame of the picture lies flat and broken. Glass and photo peek out like berry fruit. Delight, despair, never to be spoken. Snatched moment, forever frozen. Fixed to the wall, it takes eternal root. Frame of the picture lies flat, unbroken. Once given as a mark of love's token, or an act to silence a sour dispute, rapture, remorse, never to be spoken. In pieces its meaning has been stolen, lost in tears messy and minute. frame of the picture lies flat and broken. Once it hung proud as a golden omen, a remnant of the past struck mute. Success, sadness, never to be spoken. The last of hope leaves us in the open. There is no longer a need to refute. Frame of the picture lies flat and broken. Delight, despair must one day be spoken. This next one is called The Flow of Reality. Reality ruins the perpetual flow of vital energy quite early. Starts with a half-filled bowl of cheap bran flakes tilting on a pile of unopened letters as you count dirty coins for the bus. It deadens the flow as the bus breaks, collects children who spin through the air with their screams, choke Capri Suns. Stumbling addicts ask for free fares as you twiddle your headphones, one pod deaf, your ear exposed. Clogs your ears with coffee orders, morphs into boredom at the office. Unopened emails hoard your screen, facts and figures scattered on the desk. Dust snugs under keyboard cracks. The daily drone wipes your brain clean. Settles the brain into a blind routine of shopping at Lidl and never Aldi for single vegetables and baby potatoes. Takes you down the same routes and streets to pass lunch hour in the company of pigeons eating your squashed crusts. Resorts to cooking with crust-coated pans for frying a single chicken breast. Wash the ware with cold water. Find a tattered towel to dry your hands before you stack the cutlery on the plate and lay it in the cupboard to rest. Concludes the rest of the day is lost, so you brush perishing teeth, strip off sweat-stained clothes, shut the window caked in frost, slip under the cotton sheet, some hours later close your eyes and realise this is the only life. Don't worry, there's only two more to go. Then it'll be done. And the next two are short. This one is called End of the Line. It's good to start in the middle, which offers you clothes like hanging carcasses, but cleaner, since it sags with sweaters and stretching sweatpants. Because once you get to the end of the line, it's shit to find things out of reach, like neutral underwear or slim-fit shirts, which hang, dangle, sway, tease your fingertips with their softness and fresh fragrance. And the last poem this evening is called Mother Entombed. My coffin looks lovely and white, like a wedding tablecloth. You picked my special day clothes, the black long-sleeved shirt, my grey, itchy next year's school pants covers the heels of my shoes. Did you forget to wash my old one, from when I fell in the forest last week and smudged my knees, scratched my tongue? You told me to kneel for the family photos. I'm not cold. You look cold. Is the black not keeping you warm? Does black make you warm? I can't remember. I wish you wore your wizard purples, fire yellows, because they brighten you up and make me laugh. Will you come back to tell me later like you always promised? Teach me what to say in front of sores for the different dinosaurs? How to pinch my laces so they'll be tight, not too tight? The names of the football stadiums, the planets, the seas. I want to rewind time, spin back to you pulling my ball from under the car. Chew starbursts and wine gums and fruit pastilles, your favourites. You leave when they shovel earth on me, the dirt slaps louder than sand. You stand in the road like an old lollipop lady with no child of your own to drive to school. Thank you.
Luke. So next we're going to have Lucy Holmes. So Lucy Holmes is a poet and mother from Kent who lives in Cork. Her poems feature in Southward, Iamb, The Honest Ulsterman, and Poetry Birmingham Literary Journal, amongst others. She's currently studying the MA in Creative Writing in UCC. And her debut chapbook, Temporary Stasis, which was shortlisted for the Patrick Kavanagh Award, will be published by Broken Sleep Books in August 2022.
everybody. So thank you, Paul, and thank you, Jim, and all the community at Oval. It's such a welcoming place. So it's been such an amazing time already studying at UCC, and you'll only see a fraction of the talent of this year's MA cohort tonight, but look out for them in the coming months and years, as there's some truly fantastic and unique talents and voices. So Valentine's Day. I'm not great at love ditties. As hard as I try, there's always a darker edge, but in honour of the night that's in it, I found a poem about the heart, which seemed appropriate. So this is Heart Fault Lines, which was published in Crossways. My heart, where is it? I know geographically where it should be, slotted into its snug cave, with tributaries at my wrists and neck. But lately, I don't have the heart as I go about my day. I used to carry it around like a holy relic, sought the worship of strangers, their veneration and awe. But there were those who preferred it light, would sooner it starve until it shrunk from sight. I grew afraid that they would capture and lock it up for purposes other than regulation and flow, that it would cease to flourish, cease again to grow. So I put it away. But this heart I haven't touched for years, I long to know before it disappears, tracing two fingers' breadth across my breast. I cross it and hope to live. You asked me once to have a heart as if I had a choice, and now this heart is gushing, banging my chest to get out. It channels envy, acts sometimes in spite, is not yet old, worn, and riddled with doubt. You said, I'm sorry, the heart wants what it wants, attributed physical hunger to a muscled lump. But this fleshy hunk, unlike a brain, is not industrious or sly, only beats its mundane tempo, keeps life ticking by. I am jealous of the writhing squid and blind earthworm, creatures with hearts that number three or five, blubbered masses flaunting myocardial reflexes as if it's nothing special to be alive. Theirs are not spun from gold or crimey cockle warmed, heavy like stone or filled with thorns. No fear of scar damage or desire, that icy squeeze, to see it above all things protected, content, at ease. They could never understand why I follow mine so, why I put it on display, try so hard to please, and not to lose it. Or please God, do not let me lose it again. This time, don't let it harden and crack, or sink so far there is no way back, but store it within reach, in the right place. Teach me how to read its rhythm, that I might keep pace. So the next one is a short one, and it's from my upcoming pamphlet. So this is The Lament of a Future Daughter of Neptune. I should explain, most of these poems are based around the sea, where I worked for 13 years. A day away from slimy induction by the king and his helper. Across the equator's watery line, they catch a fish. We stand transfixed as the silver light swoops and sways on its cord through the waves. Then, hoisted and hooked, bashed and sliced, blood sprayed into scuppers, all remains clean from some bleached decks. They hold her up. We smile, recoil, peer into one unblinking eye, register nothing. Just a baby, they say, as they gather their tools and begin their work. So finally, I'm going to read a poem that I suppose is a little bit about my ambivalence towards where I grew up in Kent. So this is Bitter Hops. It was just recently published in Wild Court. So, sorry, very nervous.
I love this.
Okay. Composed. I'm the end of a Kent summer, the careful cutting of the vine. I return to pluck a bushel of woody twine from the neon green hop burr. I crush pellets in palms to molten spice, warm the oil between my hands and lie in the long grass. Inhale the bitter scent which drifts across the North Downs, homeland of mine, bonds excised, childhood spent. I am an oast house, my arms windmilling in the lane, vernacular, an unyielding archetype. I am irregular, obsolete. Tear me down, I no longer fit. I'm a window jammed open by the handle of a broom as kilns burn deep and fierce, kindled by hands that gathered the crop. Weather beaten, cloud producing, now gone soft. I finger the surfeit, the humulus lupulus. It is resinous and hard to prune. Like me, it is loose of branch and historically susceptible to pests. I unfurl throughout the spring, found out too young that crops rotate and cycles end. And by that token, I'll admit, I learned too late that neither a Kentish maid nor a maid of Kent knows which side of the river is best. They just keep going in search of the widest mouth. There is a path through the woods on the rambling edge past the ice house and the Roman halls. Buried in knee-height reeds, its outline is battle-scarred and hard-won. But I am a British housing estate built on top of buckled wheat fields on prime arable land. The chaff burned to nub, concrete poured to smooth stone. The air is filled with chlorine from the nearby swimming pool. I lay on the bench of the changing rooms behind the cross-country track I used to run on a rain-soaked summer's day. In this stronghold, where they fought for soil, nothing changes. They replaced their heroes, killed their kin from 1066, on and on and on. I learned at school only a fraction of the wars. Of King Harold's eye and a tapestry fading to dust. Saw them coming over the brow of the hill when I was a girl. Welcome to this imaginary kingdom, now in ruins.
Thank you so much, Lucy, that's fabulous. Our next poet is Kieran Fionn Murphy. Was born in New York City and studied philosophy before moving to Ireland, where he co-founded Murphy's Ice Cream in Dingle. He has published a cookbook as well as poems and news articles for various publications, including recently in the anthology Local Wonders, which is Daedalus Press 2021. And he's currently pursuing a graduate degree in creative writing at UCC. So can we please big round of applause for Kieran?
Thanks so much for having us. Really appreciate it. I'm going to be unashamedly romantic, I guess, given the day that's in it. The first one's called Love in the Weeds. I'm feeling weedy, cheeky, leafy, yellow-petaled, pistol-pokey, naughty, glowy, boundary-braving, stamen-waving, pollen-brimming, gently stubborn, trembling with the buzziness of bees. You could, of course, just herbicide me with a word, or finger-pluck me, pull my peduncle, and shake my tendrils barely from your garden heat. But why not unmind while-heartedly, intertwining chlorophylly, tangling foliaceously, concretion-stem delight, rhythm and tumescency, sap uprising, sticky, thickly, closely bursting, seedy, uncontrolled as night. So yes to yes, and us and slow, and sun on weeds and green and growth, when every leaf becomes a metamorphosis of we. My grandmother was a very proud Cork woman, and she was also a Catherine, and she loved her red coat. And this one's about her. Maybe her second greatest tragedy was she had to live in Dublin for many years. This is called Landing 1985, a Dublin love song. £100 was all it cost to send them flying. Laughing late on Kevin Street, they sang Ness and Dorma, homebound. Let no one sleep. This is a love song about dying. Life with Kitty's second Murphy man was satisfying. In the pub, they laughed and watched the boxing with no sound. £100 was all it cost to send them flying. Fresh air and singing after alcohol is purifying. On Bride Street corner, a drunk man danced his car around. Let no one sleep. This is a love song about dying. Jim was gentle, and so Kitty found it stupefying when he pushed her hard. She soared, and her head landed on the ground. £100 was all it cost to send them flying. Jim took the full force for her, she learned later. Lying face on tar, she couldn't see or move. and felt like she had drowned. Let no one sleep. This is a love song about dying. A cracked skull, Valium, and gin don't stop the crying. The judge's verdict sent her singing Nessun Dorma at Jim's mound. £100 was all it cost to send them flying. Let no one sleep. This is a love song about dying. All right, back to the romance.
I like it.
This one's called Love in a Coracle. You unzip, zoom across the room, board the bed, bare toes push off the night blue carpet, launch us, then flop into our shadowy swell of sheets and feathers soft as whale's song. We paddle for the kiss of promised land in Imram Vrayanam, where the stars all dangle low as lanterns and the beach is naked as a moon path to Atlantis. Coracles are rudderless, but I possess a pintle. So buckle up around me and we'll create a circle, float happy as a harbor seal, undulating through pelagic flow. Like Brendan, who sought miracles and magic, though we're no saints and wouldn't choose his acolytes as guides, don't see deity riding on high clouds or loud on wind, or in vindictive hands knotting Judas to that western island, no. Conjugal is heaven, so we're told. So no betrayal rolling foamy oceans in this bumpy little basket of our love, just a husband-wife defying death, tossing time out overboard to splashing laughs of small quick fishes who, like us, embrace mysterious, meaning skin-tight, messy, silver bits of love, life, sorry. And when we land, right in on white-tipped waves that stretch into green giggles, gasp, pause, swash, then relax, painting stars and sky sheen on blonde sand, and us beached, blessed in brine, a coracle reclining on a wide expanse of wet, warm, wonderful. And one last one, and we're done. It's called Nightwalks, Laudine, Evan and Dingle, very lovely. So, pebbles, tide tossed, huddle on strands of net and seaweed smell, shine as if dipped into that curved white bath of an imbold moon. I'd love to climb up, jump, and splash in light, escape the east wind, slap, slap, slapping of a sheep skull with a drained domestic bottle, dripping home, candescent, to Kulin. You'd see me glow outside, even as I ignite within, at the sight of you, drinking tea in our lit kitchen window.
Kieran. Our next poet is Emily Anna King. Emily is pursuing her MA in creative writing at UCC. Her most recent publications include Tiernanogue, Massachusetts Best Emerging Poets 2019, Pomplemousse, Lily Poetry Review, Paragon Press, and Otherwise Engaged Journal. While her work often explores the Chinese-American adoptee experience, Emily is also passionate about investigating the intersectionality between language and music. Besides writing, she loves spending time with her family, playing piano, training jujitsu, and baking. So a big applause for Emily, please.
Yeah, thank you all so much for having me tonight. I'm really excited to be here. This is my very first in-person reading, so thank you. So I will be sharing three poems tonight, Song of Glass, 205, and Landscape of My Soul. So this is Song of Glass. I wonder, are your eyes the alternate reality where I am happy? No. God, no, I'll crush clouds into bottles to melodies of sad Spotify playlists, harmonizing with glass cracking, unable to produce tears. Can you imagine glass cracking because it can't produce tears? Am I happy imagining that in the glass that breaks the brightest parts of us where reflection mangles mirrors, erasing every color? You say, are you happy imagining the wound inward facing, simmering in the silence between a smile and the words, I'm okay. I'm okay not dying, but isolation dyes all of our vision gray, gouged, Don't drink loneliness as medicine and call it independence. Empty the glass. I'm telling you, the glass is reused. And if you drop it on hardwood, it may not shatter. Before it shatters, it will cut your skin. No sound. Navy sky against sand and mud, holding black and blue nostalgia in the moments before waves break. Against agony, the water you drink from the vessel nourishes you. So you wonder, a victim, a self-savior, objectively a bleeding body, inevitably human. Do you save yourself? Kill yourself with carelessness, make it metaphoric, define yourself in duality, glass fragile, glass holding, water, body made of water. You are a cup of the ocean. Do you throw yourself into the floor, become sea glass, red, blue, green, or bring words to your lips like the tides? Tell me, soft, sharp, sweet, listen to me and the spaces inside yourself. Remember, loneliness isn't a sickness diagnosed when we're saving our lives by caving into ourselves. It's the closest way most of us will understand love, worth creating for each other. Feel it intimately, the texture of a soul in waves, in light, in leaves, rimmed golden circles from the sun, smooth, warm against skin. Thank you. This next piece is 205. I can only consider the bus passing over the bridge so many times before the empty seats fill themselves with storylines from sad pop songs, rain jackets, sun ricocheting off puddles and river waves. As it sets, someone thinks about the first time missing a friend sitting next to them, drinking black coffee, thinking the bitterness tastes sweet. Eyeliner bleeds under tired eyes, a symptom of considering the universe. If hot and cold reach a point of equilibrium, then how do I define every person who doesn't write back? Another passenger thinks about who does. Him and his cigarette-soaked sweatshirt, dimples etched in both cheeks. He laughs at her message and makes a note to buy cheap chocolates. An old man counts his change, repositions a faded cap, hard ivy green seats lit by white interior lights. A red setter runs by my window, painted in warm brown and rust tones. Earl Grey tea lingers on lips. Smells of fish tinge the air. It is not mine. I count the breadcrumbs on the table. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lives I haven't lived, passing by in blue and green coats, shopping bags in hand. Wet hair clings to shoulder blades, dampens my cotton shirt, kitchen sponge against palm, smell of lime juice and peach tea poured into drain. Fan buzzing by the window, sky fading into navy blue and yellowish purple clouds, shining porcelain, clean, view, over the bridge, into the city. I remember the fuzz of his sweater against my cheek. My last piece tonight is called Landscape of My Soul. Teacup clocks, porcelain faces, small hands holding 12:15 a.m. There is not enough time to tell you. My soul is from Connemara, Cape Cod, tresses of grasses and stone cliffs, dusty road dumplings, and melodies of ivory keys written in black ink. I found the Rosa Rugosa, where we laughed, and I climbed out of the stroller, pine cones in hand, and I knew infinite love of a sea glass smile and a white sweatshirt, perfume that smelled like night sky and nectar stars. Tread on the landscape of my soul, stones weathered, wild grasses, history's wrinkles crinkling in foreheads of mountains, ponds like pub eyes, fragile in their sharpness, inflections in waves whispering, I am not white china porcelain, ceramic dust waiting to crack, creamer in coffee circles left on old napkins. Look, painted sheep, rainbow sheep, water in long grasses chewed, wandering, salt air, salt tears, salt smile, salt dog playing salt fetch with salt stone, rocky, weathered, soft and feathered, fingers tangled in long tresses, green, sandy, cool, button eyes glittering with salt diamonds, ocean mist, sky, spelling all there is to finally see. I am stained glass, mosaic pages, golden in lights of the kitchen, the cottage with teacup clocks celebrates, flowers on windows streaked with rain and memory of sunlight, blackberries bursting, seeds flowing down my throat, a garden consumed tonight, sweet. We tread on the landscape of my soul here. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Emily. And on to our final guest poet, Raven Good. is a trans woman from Denver, Colorado, specializing in speculative fiction, who only recently started calling herself a poet. Her poetry is often about identity and place, their connections, how identity challenges and constrains itself, and the ways in which it evolves. She spent her time in Cork falling in love with Ireland and its people, despite spending a lot of time hiding from everyone, but has found inspiration in both. So big welcome to the great event.
Thank you very much for having me here tonight. I'm quite excited to be here. So the first poem is inspired by the lovely Ireland weather. Storm und Drop. In Colorado, the rain is violence. Fat drops like bombs. Fill the bars between thunderclaps. Paint the brass wind across unshuttered windows. Foretelling clangor of ice on cars and tin sheds. But here in Cork, I must strain to hear rain pizzicato against my windows. Else it falls out of the core. I step outside to let the oboe blow fine against my skin. The burgundy caress of the cello vibratos through my hair. Like some of my cohorts here tonight, I am very much a lover of poems that are in a set form. So, brownie points if you know the form that this one is in. This is called As Long As It Takes to Escape the Circle. My mother's gold Toyota Camry is in the junkyard, collecting sunlight on its soft beige seats. The color bleaches, unable to resist the rays, spread across the dashboard like marbles. Collecting sunlight on its soft beige seats, I press the cigarette lighter against brown leather, concentric rings spread across the dashboard like marbles. She took motorcycling lessons while I pressed the cigarette lighter against brown leather, concentric rings of cones placed around the asphalt. She took motorcycling lessons while I sat wishing we could afford a babysitter. Lines of cones were placed around the asphalt where mom's Camry was sent skidding across five lanes. I sat wishing we could afford a babysitter. Lines of burnt rubber twisted across the highway where mom's Camry was sent skidding across five lanes. I had a basketball game that day, unaware of burnt rubber twisted across the highway. She was on her way to pick me up knowing I had a basketball game that day, unaware of an 18-wheeler driven by a drunk man. She was on her way to pick me up knowing I would wait for her as long as it took. Visions of an 18-wheeler driven by a drunk man haunted her with bruises and jitters. I would wait for her as long as it took. Visions screaming, skidding, spinning, weaving haunted her with bruises and jitters. To hug her was forbidden. It triggered dreams of screaming, skidding, spinning, weaving. My mother's gold Toyota Camry is in the junkyard.
Wondering what the form is.
I'm just going to let this one speak for itself. I raise this hymn to Apollyon. We're all us lepers, because who else is here? For us, when the bones of our fingers are cannibalized into our hands, till only a mass of meat around the palm bone remains. I raise this hymn to Apollyon, for who else could smile at our club hands, at our swollen nothing monument to potential? I raise this hymn to Apollyon, because they who own the magic refuse us. Unclean, unclean, unclean. I raise this hymn to Apollyon when they use the arcane words stamped on discs of silver and gold to summon paintings, porcelain vases as fragile as life. I raise this hymn to Apollyon for the mana spent on purple dye we can't eat, spent on signet rings our hands can't see, spent on shoes of softest leather our bone block feet can't meet. I raise this hymn to Apollyon when they invoke demons from their purses to keep our pocked hides out of sight. When we raise this hymn to Apollyon, our knuckle-wad hands will snatch beauty. We must become the demons. When we raise this hymn to Apollyon, our lesions will gleam like sunrise, and we will climb the mountain to show them our hoof-meld feet know no pain. When we raise this hymn to Apollyon, we will take their pain to feel again, and they will paint red our rags. We will have our home. As I said before, I am very much a lover of poems in set forms, and this one likes to strain against the film. Of glass. I want to cover the mirror in black cloth, a rough touch, like the disconnected spines of a feather. If the mirror has your name, it is enough to bind you, to coil the hempen rope and clutch, tough fibers impinge, then pin your legs and arms. Unsevered. I want to cover the mirror in black cloth, a rough touch of spun burlap to obscure it, scratch it, smudge, rebuff its glassy tether. If the mirror has your name, it is enough to twist and tangle your hair across your brow, up flush against the bone ridge over your eyes like leather. I want to cover the mirror in black cloth, a rough touch against my fingers. The truth is a coarse brush, a wood-handled tool to build a new self, a lever. If the mirror has your name, it is enough. Sprinkle cold glass on the top. I stuff such fragments of doubt in the trash. A name is not forever. I don't cover the mirror in black cloth. I forgive the mirror, and it becomes black wings.